Thank you. That's, well, because there's some key words that stand out in that. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And there's a lot to think about when it comes to if you're a believer, these scriptures are very meaningful because they're promises for us. Because we've received the Lord, but we also receive his promises along with it. And blessed is the man that walks not. Now, in the easy-to-read version, it says, great blessings belong to those who don't listen to evil advice. That's a really good thing. Because as believers, a couple times, I've done this before, and I would just ask us as a congregation, how could a non-believer counsel us about our faith walk when they're void of the Spirit and it's all secular counseling? I don't throw it away in the sense of, you know, if you see a car coming, don't step in front of him on the road. That's good counsel. Don't want to be a hood ornament. But when you apply that spiritually, we seek the Lord. The Lord is our counselor by the Holy Spirit. And so it's far wiser to seek other believers for counsel or directly to the Lord himself. But that should be our first choice. Now, I've encountered in this particular area, a lot of people say, do you do Christian counseling? And I say, as little as possible. I'm not really qualified as a quote-unquote counselor. But if you ask me some questions, together we can find the biblical answers to the situation, and I'd rather do it that way, where it's not a counseling session, if you will, because those are the things that are going to help people, because the Holy Spirit already knows what the need is of the person, and I found so often that he will make that connection. And if you know someone's coming to meet you, it's always good to pray in the Spirit first and get our counsel from the Holy Spirit. And even when we share verses with each other, that's very healthy as well. It's very helpful because it's the Word of Life. The entrance of God's Word brings light. It brings light to an area of darkness in a person's thinking or maybe their walk. But when that Word comes forth, It's like an illumination happens within that person, and they're able to receive. So, blessed is the man. Great blessings belong to those who don't listen to evil advice. Now, listen to the extent of walking it out to apply it, because we all hear. Sometimes we listen. We have selective hearing. You can filter out some stuff. But this is good advice for us, to be mindful of who you seek out, if it's one of us, who you seek out to get some understanding or some advice. Or maybe what's the next step from where you are? It can even just be in a conversation. Nothing real official, but it's good. And then the next one, verse 2. Okay, nor stands in the way of sinners. That word stand, it means to come in union with, to unite yourself with, to put yourself in agreement with. If you're standing in the way, that means you've planted yourself in the same way they're going. And so we're not going to find that very profitable as believers. Even though there are people who are greatly gifted in knowledge and wisdom, discernment and understanding, but generally it's going to be, this is talking about the non-believer. So they're good monitors of watching believers, because boy, they can spot if we stray off course. They're really quick to see that. But to make it a lifestyle, why would we want to go back to the way we were? Because that's kind of what we're doing if we stand with them in their way. It's like going back to what the Lord brought us out of. I don't see much difference in that, because we're identifying again. When you stand with somebody, that means you come into agreement with them and you embrace, you partake. And we need to be really wise about that, because it can rub off on us. I know we always think that, well, we have the opportunity to have the Spirit of God pour out and in fact or affect others. But the longer, and this is an absolutely known truth, sometimes it happens in a marriage. One will be born again and the other one not. And the one who's not, over a period of time, will start breaking down the values of the one who is saved. And I know that I've seen that happen. We know people it's happened to. And the Word tells us, don't stand with a non-believer, because their life can affect your walk. It shouldn't. It doesn't have to, but it does. It's just a fact. And either we're in it to win it, or it'll start eroding. It'll cause us to start weakening our values so that maybe we can relate better to the non-believer. We can reach them better if we don't get too religious. And I find that it's almost having to compromise to do that. And eventually, because people sometimes try to make peace between the two of them, but compromise is not really a good thing, because you can get comfortable compromising, and little by little by little by little by little the enemy gets that seed in there, and it's a quick go-to. Instead of a confrontation or an argument, well, I'll just compromise. And maybe I can win that person to Christ if I compromise. But what draws people is the fact that we don't. There's a truth about Christians are not the most popular people, if you hadn't noticed yet. But not compromising and standing strong and doing what we know to do is a witness in itself. And people are drawn to that. The fact that we don't compromise and that we don't have to, that what we have is worth. So we take a little flack. But taking that stand is worth it, because that's the witness. Jesus didn't compromise. We don't have to do what other people do to win them to the Lord. It's the Spirit that's going to draw them anyways. See, he drew somebody here in an orange truck. That's pretty cool. So what do we got here? We have, oh yes, great blessings belong to those who don't live like sinners, the unsaved, and who don't join those who make fun of God. Those are the mockers. And I like the word, who don't join. nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Once again, sitting in the seat of, it means you're having fellowship with, you're partaking. When you sit together with somebody, there's a transaction, if you will, that takes place spiritually, but also played out in the natural. It's like standing or sitting with the unsaved. There's a point where you're maybe on the verge of almost compromising, but not quite, but it's close. And you can be affected by that. I think even scriptures in Proverbs talk about don't do these things, because eventually, if that's what you do, it's going to affect our walk, because we'll start talking like them again. We may start doing things that they seem to be getting away with, but they're not living by the same standards as we are. And who don't join those who make fun of God, who don't join with those who make fun of God, because there's no there's no point in that. I found that we don't have to compromise. We don't have to talk like that. But also another thing, and this is for those of us, I gotta see if I can word this rightly, because you can choose to be offended. Now, I use the bowling alley because it's kind of a ministry field, if you will, and I could choose to be offended every time I hear someone mocking or using the Lord's name in vain, things like that. I could get offended to the point where I just wouldn't want anything to do with them. Or someone will say something and then they'll apologize to me. And I'll say, that's all right. If I haven't said it, I've at least thought it more than once. And that's not compromising, but it's causing them to let their guard down, and it's okay. It's not a choice that I would make to speak like that. But if I get offended every time I hear something, you know, you just couldn't make yourself available to reach people that are lost. If we can't get over what they're saying, I mean, that's... Listen to Barbara's testimony sometime. Married to a Navy man, she had all the language that went with it. Some of the rest of us did too at one time. But if we get easily offended by that, then we need to ask the Holy Spirit to toughen us up in a right way, so that we choose not to be, because being offended is a choice. So remember that. It's a choice. You can be offended or you can choose not to be. Morning, Jesse.
Good morning.
Okay. Next one. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, the word of God. Now, I like the way this is written. Instead, they love the Lord's teachings, lessons from the word, and think about them day and night. It's part of renewing our minds. And also the entrance of his word brings light. We talked about that in the beginning. But we gain so much. Every time we read the scriptures, it's not healthy to say, oh, I just read that yesterday. Well, I've read the Gospel of John so many times, it's all falling apart like this too. But I love the way John wrote, because he introduced the Holy Spirit in the text. He introduced about being born again. All the things that he wrote, John had a wonderful revelation. Plus, I always liked his attitude. Every once in a while, he'd write, the one in whom Jesus loved. He didn't talk about the other 11, but he sure made mention that if you were reading his letter, it brought a point to he's the one whom Jesus loved, because John had, I think, one of the greatest revelations of the love of God of any of the writers in all that I've read. He had that revelation of the love of the Father. He wrote about it a lot. And because I spent so much time in John when we first got saved, Faith and I got saved a couple days apart, and we were both told the same thing. Don't start in Genesis, start in John. Because therein you'll learn about being born again, and everything will reinforce what you have when you're rooted and grounded. Then go back and read the histories that led up to it. But I always would start somebody in the Gospel of John too. And I love the way he introduced the Holy Spirit. None of the others talk much about the Holy Spirit, but John had this relationship with the Father that seemed to be so precious, and I wonder if that's maybe why he had the revelation of heaven. And when the angel called him up and said, see here. But what was really cool about that is not only did he see what was going on in heaven, he was still able to see what was going on earth, and he wrote about the two of them simultaneously. And the book of Revelation is in both worlds. It's fantastic. I've not seen a lot of the writers in the scriptures have that dimension or be in both realms at the same time, have you? It's pretty rare. And so when we think about, we love the Word because it ministers life to us. Our spirit man needs it. That's the nutrients, and which we're going to talk about in the next verse. But thinking about the Word, I find myself doing that, shoveling snow. It's my body just knows what to do. So I don't need to tell it what to do. It just knows what to do. Scoop, lift, over, dump. Scoop, lift, over, dump. Done. But you can meditate and think about your favorite verses until it's almost like you have to break out of your thought pattern to get away from the Word. You start getting into that routine of speaking verses that you know. I thought a lot about this one for the last 3 days, and it doesn't ever come out the same way twice. You ever notice that when you present a verse or two, and then the next time it never comes out the same? It's like you see something different, or a different perspective, or a different facet of that word, and the Holy Spirit helps you hone in. Add it to what you know already, and we're growing in knowledge and wisdom, discernment, understanding. All of those are helpful tools from the Word. And think about them day and night. I don't wake up much in the middle of the night, and when I do, I'll be honest with you, I don't think about the Word. I think about going back to sleep. Just being honest. But one night, a week or so back, I woke up in the middle of the night and I started binding the enemy and reminding him that he's not going to be stealing our son's healing. And it started just in between asleep and awake, just long enough to start saying that, I bind you in the name of Jesus, you're not stealing his healing. We forbid you from stealing his healing. And I went back to sleep. And then some other things unfolded that have helped him make a pretty rapid improvement. And Faith also has done some research about bodies rejecting an organ. But it tends to be brief. And the person, it's another part of their recovery of surgery like that, seems like. So he's on the mend and doing very well. All right, what else? What else have we got here? Oh, yes. And because we meditate on the Word day and night, if you're a night person, What else did that say? Oh, yes, day and night, meditating. It's mulling over in your mind, thinking about it. And there are good times to do that. And then it says, why would they do that? So they grow strong. You see? And he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water. I want to show you, I just want to use something outside. If you look at these three trees, these three evergreen trees by the parking lot, there's this one, that one, and the shorter one a little further up on the hill. Marjorie bought those years and years ago when they were little baby plantings. One died, but three made it. And so, but I've noticed, because the slope of the field, the shorter one is at the top, because the water ran away from it. The middle one got more water, and the bottom one got the most water. And you can see that in the growth of the trees, because Andy and I planted those trees. Ripped out all the old pine trees, and just watching that growth process, that's when you start feeling like you've been someplace for a long time, when the trees are all adults and I'm still a kid. My thinking. But the water went more to the lower one. And all winter long, these trees look like they're frozen and have no life. But their roots go deep, because that same slope, wherever there's water, these trees are going to flourish. And it's the same in the Word. The more Word we absorb, it's like water and nutrients for the spirit man. Oops, sorry, Marlene, you're not here to see that. It's just plants grow where there's water. And so we need to let our roots go into the water of the Word, the washing of the water of the Word. The more we wash our minds with the Word, it helps us get out of cruddy thinking. Or like Joyce Myers, I still like her phrase, stinking thinking. You wash your body, it don't stink. You wash your mind, it don't have stinking thinking. Same principle, but it has to do with the water, the washing of the Word. It changes the way we think. It changes the way we do a lot of things. Eventually, it will change the way we do everything, if we let it. And so, these trees, the neat way that God designed trees, is some are fruit trees, some are not. But the fruit they produce, if they're not a fruit tree in the sense of an edible fruit, a lot of trees have pine cones, or they have little acorns on the oak trees. There's fruit of some sort. But the fact is, because of what the roots are grounded in, that's what's going to be the fruit. And that can work for us or against us. If we're always letting our roots grow into a lack of the Word, then the tree or our walk is going to reflect that. And if we're Word people, then our life is going to come in line with God's pattern for our lives, is that we be fruitful. Fruitful meaning successful, victorious, overcoming, more than conquerors. All those words he says we are. But if we don't read the scriptures much, and we don't come across verses like that, we're not going to know those things. So studying and finding these little truths, it says, and their leaves will never fall. That's not true with all trees. Trees have a season, just like people. We have seasons in our life. And but with the trees, they go through cycles. And we who live here know that. You can see the four seasons, and it's reflected in the plant life. And I remember when I was working on the golf course that I had that incident with the mower and the Holy Spirit that I told you about. They had planted all baby trees, these little baby Australian pines, they grow in South Florida. And they planted 100 of them, and every one of them died. And I didn't notice, and I didn't really care because I wasn't saved. And after I got saved, the first day I went back to work, it was like I had three-dimensional vision. I could see leaves in layers. I couldn't describe it any other way, like there were layers. So they decided they would pull up those trees and have somebody from a nursery come in and plant them again. And I said, no, let me plant them, because then I was saved. And so I got the chance to lay hands on every one of those trees and said, tree, you're not going to die, you're going to live. Planted all those 100 trees and they all lived. Because the washing of the water of the word, we can speak to stuff, and we learned that really early in our faith walk, learning to speak to things. So, but our life, designed by God, is to be victorious. He didn't say that issues and problems and things that befall us as humans come upon us from time to time, but they don't have to consume us and overcome us. God has given us ways to, in spite of those things, to overcome them, to conquer them, to put them under our feet and maintain your victory walk. You know, it's like bowling. Just because I throw a ball in the gutter don't mean the whole game's done. I used to live in the gutter. I'm familiar with that. But I don't have to live there anymore. And it's just, bowling has a lot of parables. But we don't have to succumb and let things overcome us and beat us down. Yes, discouragement comes. Why would we need to be encouraged if there weren't discouragement to provide the need for encouragement? So all of these things work together. And as our lives go through seasons, I don't know what season I'm in yet. I'm just here still, so I'm thankful. But these trees, they produce fruit at just exactly the right time. Apples know when to pop out on the tree from the blossoms, cherries, any kind of fruit trees. God designed those trees to produce fruit. And this is an observance. Faith bought a bag of these. They're like clementines. They're like half tangerine and half something else. And I've broken many of them apart, and every one of them has 10 sections. You buy those and you take them apart and count them. Almost all of them, I'll say almost all, have 10 sections. How creative is that of the Lord to make a fruit and you open it and the segments underneath the skin are all the same. And so when you take us apart in the sight of the Lord, he makes us all the same spiritually, but we all have different gifts, talents, skills, calling, but the spirit man is one. That's why Jesus told us that he's the true vine, that we're to abide in him and he in us and we with one another, because we're the same spiritually, we're of the same spirit. And so it's hard to lose when you put all of these things together, so it comes back to blessed is the man who does not do these things. And so then he comes to the trees. A tree that produces fruit when it should, and it has leaves that never fall. I don't know. Yeah, there are trees here that the leaves don't fall off. I've noticed that. I don't know what kind of tree they are. Andy, do you? We have them behind our stone wall. The leaves never fall off, even in the winter.
What's that oak? A live oak.
Uh-huh. So because most of the trees we see, the leaves do fall off, but it's part of the season they're in. And so how does that relate to a believer? Well, we go through different seasons where things fall off us. They just fall away. They have less and less and less influence over our life as we grow. And so those leaves are good to fall off. Let them go. Get the leaf blower and just clean them out. Leaves that never fall, and everything they do is successful. Oh, I really like verse 3 though. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. it's so hard to fail as a believer. I mean, you have to learn to fail. You have to acquire the ability to fail all over again, because the new man is not equipped to fail. The new you inside the earth suit is not equipped to fail. It's not part of the gear. That'll give you something to think about, won't it?
We're overcomers.
That's right. So whatever challenges, it doesn't mean, like I said, that we don't get discouraged or disappointed sometimes. But if you ponder that, you can have a pity party and wallow in it and invite some of your friends to participate. But the three that you can count on, three, me, myself, and I, they're always going to show up for a pity party. Myself and I, they're going to fan the flame so that me can have the party. Don't give in. Resist. It's a horrible way to spend your day. And then you go to bed and wake up the next day and you haven't left it where it ought to be. We prosper in everything we set our hand to do. We have good success. All kinds of the Bible is filled with scriptures like that. Blessed is the man who. And you read what the who is. What are the qualifications to prosper? What are the scriptures? What's the formula for success in prospering? Being really good at what you do. And God himself has actually put his gifts, his call on our lives, his talents, his abilities. He's placed them in us. And I would like to go a step further. I believe they were there from birth, but it took the new birth to really manifest them the way God designed them to be. I painted very well before I was saved, but I paint better now. It lasts longer. I don't take careless shortcuts. And sometimes we do that with life. Don't take careless shortcuts. Let the season of your life play out, and don't try to hurry to make the next season come along. It will. You can be sure of it, because he related our walk to the trees who have fruit in their season. So don't worry so much about the fruit. Be concerned about the root. Take care of the root, and the fruit will follow. Amen.